Hey crew, what a delight to be back in your earbuds or AirPods or on your car stereo or wherever it is that you are as you dive into this podcast. I don't take it lightly that you would decide to spend a few minutes with me. I am excited about today's episode, actually. My chief of staff, Feli, asked me to record on this topic, and I was a little bit like eye-rolly about it, but then I dived in and I was like, oh no, this is really important. So today we are talking about five signs that you are a people-pleasing leader. And I hope it helps you with some nuance around how to be people first or relationally oriented, emotionally intelligent. Use all of those amazing people skills you have without dipping into people pleasing, without dipping into a belief that you have to keep all the humans happy in order to be a successful leader. In fact, that will just make you a very, very tired person running a limping along company. So, my five tips to recognize if this might be a problem for you and some strategies to right the ship if you've gone off course. Delighted to bring you this content today. Feel free to reach out to me, send me messages, email, either social media or through the website. If there are things that you would like for me to talk about on the podcast or the YouTube channel, I often pull our content from questions or things that people reach out related to advice. So don't hesitate to ask your questions and I will do my very best to address them. Thanks so much for listening.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. This is a place where we have conversations about mental health and entrepreneurship. We have a pretty broad conceptualization of what mental health means, sometimes depression, anxiety, sometimes relationships or physical health. The goal here is to bring some calm into the crazy roller coaster of ups and downs that is life for many entrepreneurs. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Sherry Walling. I'm a clinical psychologist and an entrepreneur, married to an entrepreneur, live in the world of entrepreneurs, and I'm so pleased that you have joined us for this conversation.
Hey crew, I'm Dr. Sherry Walling. I'm a clinical psychologist who focuses on the thriving and well-being of entrepreneurs and other high performers. These are folks who are really putting themselves out there, trying to build businesses, make art, do all kinds of things in the world that require bringing it all to the field, full focus of mind, body, and soul. Today, we are going to talk about five, count them, one, two, three, four, five, signs that you are a people-pleasing leader. So first of all, I want to say that having a deep orientation or intuition that helps you read the room, helps you read the emotional vibe quality of your employees, of your clients, of people around you, is an important superpower. Much of our work is about being an intelligent human. And it's not just the cognitive processes of solving problems and writing code. We have to understand, as leaders, as entrepreneurs, how people think, what they want, what they need, what their level of sort of attachment is to a certain idea, what their level of attachment is to us. And all of that is about deep emotional intelligence and being relationally intelligent. I think sometimes those skills are called like soft skills, which bothers me tremendously because they're actually very difficult skills and they are very important skills. So I want to begin any conversation about people pleasing by first dispelling the myth that it is inherently pathological, because it isn't. The ability to keep folks happy and focused and on the right path is extraordinarily important. But the downside, or where we might get a little bit worried about people pleasing, is when you as a leader are more other-oriented than you are oriented toward either your own sort of inner compass, inner knowing, inner knowledge, inner wisdom, or what's helpful and healthy for the business as a whole. If we think about it as these concentric circles, the smallest, closest, most intimate circle is you, your knowing, your wisdom, your intelligence, your ideas, etc. And then we go one layer out, and that's the people around you. So again, your team, your customers, your clients, the people who are in your neighborhood, so to speak, if we were quoting Mr. Rogers. And then one level out is the company as a whole, the whole ecosystem of what is good for your business and its interactions in the world. And then we could go out further than that, looking at culture as a whole and community, et cetera. But it's really these first three layers that I want to talk about today. So people-pleasing becomes problematic when you're so focused on that second circle, that second layer, that you miss the first circle, your own self, your own well-being, or you miss the third circle, the well-being of the company as a whole. So when we are off orientation and too focused on pleasing the humans, one of the first things that goes is our own well-being. So this is where we take on the tasks that really should be assigned to other people on our team, or we are so oriented towards the tap dance that is required to keep people happy that we exhaust ourselves and leave ourselves very vulnerable to burnout. So it is completely unhelpful for us to pour ourselves out on the sacrificial mound for others if we are the leader, if we are the one who is to make the decisions, to make the difficult calls, to set the pace, to set the strategy, and to be the person who is responsible for driving the ship. When we sacrifice ourselves, we sacrifice the best asset of the company, right? Ostensibly, this is our idea. We're in charge. And so if we compromise our ability to think clearly, to be healthy, to have good energy, then we're really risking the whole process. Similarly, if we are so worried about keeping people happy, we miss really seeing the whole field. We miss the fact that sometimes we have people on our team that really aren't in the optimal role. And so we're compromising the well-being of the entire company, of the entire team, because we don't want to do a hard thing. We don't want to let go of that employee. We don't want to release that client. We don't want to make the change that is good for the company, but in the short term, bad for the human involved. So when that's happening, that's a sign that our people-pleasing orientation is off. We're focused on the wrong things, essentially. So let's make this a little bit more concrete. Let me give you five ways to know if you are a people-pleasing leader. The first is other first information gathering. So you have a question about a decision you need to make, maybe a new product that you would like to offer your customers, a new marketing strategy. Your first action is to ask a bunch of other people. Obviously, reading the room, getting the feedback from the crowd, talking to your customers is very, very important in business. But when your other orientation is the first action, rather than spending the time to think for yourself, like really going deep in thought in your own internal process, that means that you're kind of skipping the first step. You're not asking yourself first. You're not trusting your leanings, your intuition, your wisdom. You're instead going to the crowd to crowdsource the ideas and the feedback. Again, it's not that doing that is wrong. It's that it's not probably the best starting spot. So if you are other first information gathering and that is just your first instinct, that could be a sign that you are not paying enough attention to your own inner wisdom and are instead deferring to the thoughts, feedback, ideas, comments of the collective, of other people, because you care more about what they think than what you think. And that's a problem if you're the leader, right? What you think, what you value, what you know about your product and about your business matters a great deal. You are actually the first expert. And you can, of course, fill in the details, fill out the ideas by consulting others. But first yourself, first get quiet, first listen, think, do the internal work before the other oriented information gathering. All right, number two, the second sign that you may be leaning into that people-pleasing leadership strategy is an external feelings barometer. So if the first one is about information gathering, this is about sort of emotion sensing. And if your read of the room is the first thing that you take in. So potentially you have an in-person office. Your read of the emotional quality of what it feels like in your office is the first thing that you're orienting to. You're really paying a lot of attention to how others feel, to how the office feels, to how the team feels, to how the customers feel, and not as much attention to how you feel. This is problematic in a couple ways. I also like to think about emotion as highly contagious. So if you walk into a situation and you receive the contagion, you take on the emotional quality of the people that you're interacting with, you are just pretty vulnerable to the ups and downs, and having your emotional stability be intertwined, be chained to the emotional stability of other people or of the collective. And that's pretty problematic from my perspective. I like my leaders to be pretty steady. Doesn't mean that we don't have emotional ups and downs. We do. But what I really love is when leaders understand that their emotional quality, their calm, their determination, their focus has the potential to be the contagion, to be the thing that runs the room, to be the thing that is the center point around which everyone else is flowing and functioning. So if we're so other-oriented that we take on other people's emotions, then we miss an incredible opportunity to like use the Jedi Force, to be the person who is infusing the room, the team, with the kind of emotional quality that we think is going to be best and healthiest for the well-being of everybody, but really for the well-being of the company. All right, so we've had number one, other first information gathering. Number two, an external feelings barometer. Number three, a deep avoidance of disruptive decisions. Ugh. These are rough. I understand. All of us who have run businesses have been in a place where we sense that something in the current team or the current interpersonal functioning is not working, and that the best thing for the well-being of the business is to make a different decision. That can mean exiting someone from the team. It can mean just adjusting the structure. It can mean all kinds of things. But the unifying theme is that these are decisions that are not popular. They're disruptive. They cause someone pain in the short term and can create some chaos among the humans. So if you are someone who is deeply avoidant of these disruptive decisions, like you know that you've had someone on your team for months who isn't in the right spot and you're just hesitant to make the change, you're avoiding doing the hard thing, that could be a sign that your people orientation is too high and your commitment to the well-being of the company is too low. So you need an adjustment there. Any individual's happiness can't trump the well-being of the company. As a leader, your responsibility is to the growth and thriving of the company for everyone. If the company isn't successful, if the customers aren't engaged because you have someone in your customer success slot who's not doing a good job, the whole company will suffer. And that is not an acceptable trade-off. One person's happiness is not more important than the well-being of the whole company. So relatedly, the fourth sign that you may be a people-pleasing leader is that your North Star, your orientation center point is about other people's happiness. What will they think? How will they feel? What will they say? If that is in the first few thoughts that comes up for you when you think about leadership decisions, that's a bit of a warning sign. It reflects not trusting yourself, not recognizing yourself as the leader, as the center point around which the business flows. You know, I think there's a danger in playing too humble, playing too small, in deferring too much, in orienting our decisions to what other people want, think, and feel. When we decide that we're going to build a company, we're going to start an art project, whatever it is that we are doing in the world, when we make the decision to say, yes, I'm going to do this, then we anchor ourselves as the central driving motivator. We're the central force of the creation of that company. And what we think, how we feel, our internal barometer matters very much to the successful birthing of that company. So if you go back in your head, like if your North Star, if your center point, if the compass reorients around other people's happiness, that's a problem. That's a problem. Okay, number five, the fifth sign that you may be a people-pleasing leader is a chronic struggle to take care of yourself. This is super common. I appreciate all of the language and an orientation around servant leadership. I appreciate, you know, leaders eat last, like all of this idea that we are in service to something else. We are in service to the company. We are in service to our customers. We are in service to our team. I like servant leadership. I get it. However, I think folk take it way too far. And if I could, I think this can be an additional vulnerability for women leaders because we have a lot of social programming and socialization orientation towards caring for another, often at the expense of caring for ourselves. So I don't know how to sing this song any clearer, but my belief is that the well-being of your company is innately tied to your well-being. Your ideas, your way of singing, your way of problem solving, your way of communicating, your way of relating, all of those things, all of the things that are your intelligence, those are the things that are the growth source of the company. So if you aren't well, if you are tired, if you are pulled in too many directions, if you aren't recharging your batteries, you can't expect yourself to grow a healthy company. And so this is this fifth and potentially most important sign is that if you are so busy running around taking care of so-and-so and mopping up such-and-such and making sure that this team feels okay about this change and that these customers are happy, like you're just spending all of your energy bolstering the emotional contentment of other people and not tending to yourself, that is often a very good sign that you are focusing on the wrong things. You're doing too much people-pleasing and not enough self-care that then flows into the thriving of the business. I believe that it is possible to be an emotionally intelligent leader and run a people-first company and take great care of your customers. All of those things can happen without you being a people-pleaser. Use the emotional intelligence that you have. Use your ability to relate well to others, but do it strategically. Do it in service to the well-being of the whole company, to the well-being of the whole, and do it in protection of yourself. And that will then empower the people on your team to self-advocate as they need to. And it will help your customers understand their place in the world, that they are not in the center point of your heart and mind, but they are a customer of a business who pays for a service, who pays for a product. And they are entitled to a quality product and a quality service, but they are not entitled to be on your mind and in your soul 24 hours a day. So when you, the leader, set the boundaries appropriately, when you understand what your responsibility is to the satisfaction of your team and to your company, then you are setting the tone that I think helps everybody be healthier. But when you pour yourself out on the sacrificial altar and you believe that your well-being doesn't matter and you sacrifice the well-being of the company because you don't want Jenny or Nancy or Bob or Juan to be frustrated, you're making the wrong choice. You're making the wrong trade. So, more tips and tricks to stay centered in your own wisdom and to be boundaried in the way that you interface with both your team and your customers or clients. Follow along with my work. You can find more information at zenfounder.com. Also follow me on social media. I'm at dr.sherrywalling on Instagram and Sherry Walling on Facebook and all of the things on X and LinkedIn and, you know, whatever. You know how to use the internet. But it is my deep delight to bring a little bit of ease and joy and good information from the psychological world to enhance the well-being of entrepreneurs and high performers. So get out there and get after it. Take good care.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, feel free to check out zenfounder.com for lots of resources about the kinds of conversations that we have on the podcast. You can get information about working with me, about maybe joining a Zen tribe. It's sort of like a mental health boot camp for entrepreneurs. We also have lots of content on our blog, links to resources in our courses and books for sale. So check us out there, and we hope to provide anything and everything that you might need to make the entrepreneurial life a little bit easier.